I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening in the book of 2 Chronicles in the chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, commencing to read at the verse number 1. I want you to follow the reading of God's precious word, please. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times. He used enchantments. He used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land, which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after that he had built a wall without the city of David, on the west side of Gihon in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods, and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mountain of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offering and thank offering, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. For Jesus' sake, amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open at that passage of God's Word in this book of 2 Chronicles, in the chapter 33. The other evening I was speaking on Romans chapter 5. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as we were considering that passage of the Word of God, we were considering the greatest subject that any preacher could ever discourse upon or ever preach upon, and that is the subject of the love of God for sinners. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. What a message indeed. And as we were thinking about love, we were considering the love of a man for a woman. We were thinking of the love of a mother for her child. We considered the love of a father for his offspring. We considered the love of a child
for a parent, or the love of a friend for a friend. And yet, friend, whenever we think of that love, it pales into insignificance whenever we consider the love that God has for you and me. I know that to every parent there is no love like the love of a child. Whenever a child puts the arms around a father or mother's neck and kisses the mom and dad on the cheek and says, "Mom and Daddy, I love you. I love you with all of my heart." Whenever we think of those children that God has given us, friend, we remember the Bible tells us that low children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. I was thinking about whenever Esau was approached by Jacob, and whenever Jacob came there and his children, and Esau saw them all with him, he asked the question, and he lifted up his eyes, Genesis 33:5. He lifted up his eyes and saw the woman and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Those that God has graciously given thy servant. And truly God has blessed homes and families. And God has given them children. Think of the joy that they bring. Think of the happiness that they can bring into your life. Think of the blessing that you can bring. Remember, Hannah was a woman that was without child. Her heart was broken. She longed for a child. And whenever God gave her that little boy, how her heart rejoiced in the gift that God has given. And she called him Samuel. And she said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord," because God had given to that broken-hearted woman a child that was such a blessing and such a joy unto her. Remember, it was only a little maid that God used even in a foreign land to be a blessing to Naaman, the man who was a leper. And yet Naaman's health was secured in that that little girl was blessed of God and used of God. She was only a child. She had been taken away from home and family. And yet, friends, she sought to serve God wherever she was. And how you and I, there's a lesson there for you and me. No matter what our circumstances are, we ought to be willing, if we love the Lord, to serve Him. It may not be in some very special place as far as the world is concerned. And yet, friend, little as much when God's in it. What a blessing that little girl of yours can be if she only but surrenders her life to Jesus Christ. What a blessing she can be in your home. It was a little boy that one day, whenever the disciples were asked the question to, or asked to give those the multitude food, and they had nothing. There's a little boy that had loaves and fishes. I can see the little boy saying, "Here's the loaves and fishes that Mommy prepared for my lunch, but take it and give it to Jesus." And friend, he didn't hold any of it back. He gave all that he had. And the little child gladly gave the loaves and fishes and put them into the hands of the blessed Son of God, and God blessed them, and He multiplied them, and the multitudes were fed. Thank God, for it was only a little boy, but thank God, his lunch was surrendered to Jesus. I think of Timothy. He was only a lad, but he had a godly grandmother. He had a godly mother. They loved the Lord. And you know, whenever they sought to teach this little boy, Timothy, the ways of God, and Paul the Apostle came into that home, and he opened the Scriptures to that little boy and expounded the Word of God that Granny and Mommy had taught him. And little Timothy came to Jesus Christ and became Saul's son in the faith. And what a blessing Timothy was. And the very last letter that Paul wrote, he wrote to Timothy. And he said, "Timothy, the time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, it's time for me to go. I've labored for the Lord Jesus for years, but the old body's tired. It's been lying in an old dirty dungeon in a prison. But Timothy, God's time for me to go has come around. It's time, the time of my departure's at hand." He looks back over his life. He says, "Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me on that day." Oh, my friend, it was only a little boy, but God saved him. And whenever God's servant laid down the mantle of the ministry, he handed it over to that young man. And he said to him, Timothy, I charge you before God. I give you a solemn charge, young laddie, I'm about to go. And God's about to take me through the suffering of a martyr's end. And he died for his testimony for Jesus Christ. But he said, Timothy, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Timothy, when I'm gone, when I'm no longer about, Timothy, preach the word. Preach only God's word. Listen, Timothy, preach it in season. Preach it out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Here was a young lad. Thank God for that godly grandmother. Thank God for that godly mommy that told the wee boy the ways of the gospel of Christ. Because Paul said this, as from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Mommy and Daddy, can I ask you a question? Are you bringing your children up in the Word of God? My, you read them other things. You let them see other things. You let your mind get in other things. Tell me, do you take down the Book of God? And do you teach to your children the ways of God and the ways of salvation? That's what Timothy's mommy did. That's what Timothy's granny did. As from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. It was only a lad one day that walked with his father up to the top of the hill of Moriah. They left the servants, they left the asses down there, and they made their way to the top of the hill. And you know, the young lad, as he was walking up the hill, he said, Dad, I see you've got the wood for the fire. I see you've got the fire, yes, to light the wood. I see, Dad, that you've got the things for the altar. But, Dad, tell me, where's the sacrifice? And his father, God had called him to lay his son upon the altar. His only son. The son that he loved with all of his heart. The son that God had graciously given to him. And as they walked up together, the father said, God will provide himself a lamb. And you know, whenever they got there and they set the wood, they set the altar in place. And they set the wood in place. And then the father reached out to his boy. And he started to bind his son Isaac. And friend, he was a willing sacrifice. You say, did he understand? I'm sure he didn't. But he trusted his father. There are things in our lives that we do not understand that God permits to come across the path. There are things in our circumstances, and listen, humanly speaking, if we could change them, we would try, because we think somehow they're a mistake and they're all wrong. And yet God says to his blood-bought people, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord. All of these children were blessings to their mother and father's heart. Let me tell you, friend, I want to talk about a different fella. I want to talk about a lad who broke his mother and father's heart. I want to talk about a boy who's called Manasseh. He's a different kind of boy. You see, the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Proverbs 30 verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. A child who broke the father's heart. I want to talk about Manasseh. There's some things I just want to say something to you. First of all, I want to think of his rearing. I want to think of his rearing. You see, the story of Manasseh is not well known, friend. But I believe that the story is there for two reasons. First of all, it shines a beacon light of warning against those that walk and sin against privilege and sin against the blessing that God has given them. Those that go sadly wrong, there is a light of warning. There is a light that shines that warns you along the path. And I believe the story is there for a second reason. Because thank God in the story, that lad, thank God, returned. That lad, thank God, repented. Thank God that lad got gloriously right with God. You see, Manasseh was a privileged boy. If I'm talking to somebody in this tent tonight, then honestly, the Holy Ghost is saying, you know, Manasseh's you. You're not called by that name, but this is your story. And friend, to be honest, here's Manasseh, and he was a privileged young fellow because he was brought up in a good home. He was brought up in a godly home. You see, his father was a king. The father's name was Hezekiah. He was of the tribe and of the lineage of David. What a lineage. What a background. What a background. What a privileged background to be in. Now, Hezekiah wasn't a perfect father. He wasn't a perfect man because there's not one of us perfect. But let me tell you, he was a man that walked with God and walked in the ways of the Lord. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who knew what it was to spread out his need before God. You know, whenever he came to the throne, Hezekiah came to the throne, there was great sin in the land of Judah. The house of God was closed. There was much rubbish that was there. And he led in his day a great reformation. He was a God-fearing man. He was one that threw down the altars of Baal. And he reopened the house of God again. And he brought back the worship of God to the land of Judah and to Jerusalem. He faced a great enemy one day, for the Assyrian armies came against them. Hezekiah wasn't able to face all the multitudes that came against them. But I'll tell you what Hezekiah did, friend. He spread out the problem before God. You see, he was a man of prayer. And he called on God. He says, God, I'm no match for this enemy. But God, I believe you are. I believe, Lord, you can bring me through. And let me tell you, my friend, read the story. And God intervened. And God helped him. And as he cried to God, God delivered him. 185,000 of the enemy were slain, friend. And God delivered his people. God delivered him again. And then one day, God sent his servant Isaiah, the prophet, into the presence of the king. He was sick at that time. He was lying in his bed. And the prophet of God came in and said to him, Hezekiah, I have a word from God for you. And he said, prophet of God, speak on. What does God say? And Isaiah says, this is what God says. He says, King Hezekiah, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he cried. He was a king, but he cried. He said, oh God, I want to live. I want to live. I want to lead the people. I want to be their king. I want to be a blessing to the nation that you've given me. And he cried to God out of a broken heart. You see, he was a man of prayer. And then God said to him, I'm going to give you 15 more years. 15 more years. And God gave him 15 more years. Now let me tell you something. You see, up until that time that Hezekiah cried to God, Hephzibah was his wife. And let me tell you, and Hezekiah, they had no children. He was going to die without an offspring. There was no son to take the throne. And his heart was breaking. He says, oh God, please, God, give me life instead of death. And God says, I'll give you 15 years. Let me tell you, friend, 3 years later, God gave him a son. 3 years later, in that 15-year period, incited, 3 years later, that God had added on to his life, God gave him a son. And the son he called Manasseh. I have no doubt that mom and dad doted over that child. He was the son that they thought they would never have. He was the child
is a thought that God would never give.
And they doted upon him. And here's a young lad and he's growing up. But friend, let me tell you, there's a danger. There's a danger that sometimes the parents, whenever they see their children doing wrong, they're not willing to take a stand for God and tell them they're doing wrong. Remember Eli the prophet? Or Eli the priest? Do you remember what the Word of God tells me? That Eli had two sons, and they made themselves vile, but he restrained them not. He wasn't willing to rebuke them. He wasn't willing to take a stand for what was right. He wasn't willing to say, sons, you're doing wrong. You're breaking the heart of God. No. He wasn't willing to restrain them, but let me tell you, God took them away. God took them away. And here's a young lad, and mother and father, they dote over him. And I believe they prayed over him. I honestly do, I believe, because Hezekiah was a man of prayer. I believe the day that God gave him that little boy, and the first time they held that child in their arms, and he's born into a royal palace, Hezekiah is the king. And I believe he lifted up to God and he said, oh God, I'd love you to take this child and use it. And whenever I step aside from the throne, oh God, make him a man of God. I believe with all my heart, friend. Because Hezekiah was a man of prayer. The wee boy lived. Listen. He was only 12. And then a silent visitor came. It was the angel of death. Death came into that home when that wee boy was only 12 years of age. Friend, let me tell you, important years in a child's life. Important years, formative years. Whenever a child is a lot of influences are coming upon the child. And now there's a need for a father in the home. There's a need for a restraining force in the home. But death comes. The last enemy which shall be destroyed, which is death. Listen, the king of terrors and the terror of kings marches into that palace. Time to go. Hezekiah. And the father leaves his partner, his wife, and he leaves his little boy, just 12 years of age. That was his upbringing, that was his rearing. But friend, let me tell you, whilst it's true, whenever dad goes and the influence and the restraint of a father's influence is off his child, let me tell you, there were other influences just waiting to take over. And friend, the truth is this, that every one of us who are parents tonight, we know this to be true. The world's after our children and the devil's after them to destroy them. There is a thief out there, the thief of souls, and the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And the devil is after our families. And he longs to destroy our children. Oh, that we would bathe them in prayer, that God would protect them, that the gracious hand of God would be upon them.
Hezekiah is no longer in the home, friend. The influence of a godly father has gone. And so we move on, for the boy takes the throne, 12 years of age. And around him, there are advisors, many of whom their heart is far from God.
You know what happens to this lad, friend? Not only, first of all, do we see his rearing, secondly, we see his rebellion. We see his rebellion. With all the blessings he had, with all the background of godly influence he had, here's a lad that turns his back on it all.
He takes the world instead.
Turns his back on his father's God. He turns his back on his mother's God. He turns his back on the God of Israel and he chooses the world.
You read the story, friend, for God records it not only in 2 Chronicles. God records it in Kings as well, 2 Kings as well. And as you read that story, friend, there's no longer a godly restriction, a godly restrictive influence and restraint upon the child. He's now upon the throne and he thinks he's boss, just like the prodigal did in the New Testament. Whenever he got away from home, got away from the restrictions of home, got away from the influence of home, he went into the far country, friend. But I said the other evening, before his feet ever got to the far country, he was already there, his heart was already there. And here there are ungodly men around this young fella. And you remember what his father did? He pulled down the altars of Baal. Do you know what Manasseh did? He raised them up again.
He went into the very house of God. His father had cleaned the rubbish out and the altars of false gods from the temple.
But what did Manasseh do? Manasseh went in right into the very heart of the worship of God, friend. And he rose up the altars to false gods. He burnt incense to the sun and to the moon and to the stars. Do you know what he does? He takes his own children, friend, his own children, and he sacrifices them in the fire to the false gods. Think of it. A young lad that was reared in a godly home.
And he does that which is evil in the sight of God. And even he takes his own children. And he's willing to destroy his own offspring.
And send them out to hell. Let me tell you, rebellion's an awful thing against God, friend. Rebellion against God's an awful thing. Because I'll tell you this, you see, when a heart that's rebellious against God, then they'll tramp over everything that they know to be right and everything they know to be true and everything they know to be holy, and they'll tramp it into the ground just to try to prove that they have cast aside the restrictions of their father's God. And here's a young fella. It's not that he doesn't know, friend. He sins against light.
It's not that he's ignorant. It's not that he has never heard the way of God. He's defiant. He's rebellious.
He's his own man. And this is as far as he's willing to go, friend. Listen. He's willing to stain the memory of his own father. Because the memory of his own father was a godly memory. The nation remembered him as a godly man. And he's so willing to cast aside his father's God, friend, that he throws aside even the memory of the godly teaching of his parents. And he sins brass-necked.
Brazen! Unashamedly! Cast off all the restrictions of godliness and godly influence!
Friend, he went deeper than even the rest did. Have you not seen that? I have. I've seen young men and young women, let me tell you, my friend, in rebellion against their father's God and their mother's Lord, and in rebellion to let their mother and father know, they will go down to the depths and even into the gutters itself just to prove that they can do it. In rebellion. Let me say one other thing before we go on. It's one thing to go yourself, friend. That's a choice you can make. But it's a tragedy when you take others with you. And the sad story of Manasseh is this. A boy who lived in rebellion against God. And he didn't care who he took with him. He didn't care. In verse number 9 of chapter 33, this is what the Holy Ghost says. Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel.
They went to the depths. He not only went himself, he took his nation with him. Is there someone tonight in this tent and you're in rebellion against God, my friend, and you're taking somebody else with you? You're going to hell yourself, but you're taking somebody else with you. You're in rebellion against God. You will not listen to what God has got to say to you, but you're taking somebody else with you.
His rebellion. Thirdly, his rebuke. You see, in mercy, God warned them. God sent the prophets. He sent Hosea the prophet. He sent Joel the prophet. He sent Nahum the prophet. He sent Habakkuk the prophet. He sent Isaiah the prophet. And God sent all these prophets to warn them about his rebellion, against his idolatry, against his stubborn sinfulness. You see, it was easy, you see. It was easy for this fella to enjoy the idols, friend. Because you see, if you worship a false god, you can do whatever you like. You can live just as you like. You see, whenever you hear the gospel of this book preached, and when you hear the God of this book preached, friend, you know that God has restrictions. God has said, thou shalt not. And God says, listen, you do, and I bring you to account. You see, I'm a living God. I'm not the false gods of wood and stone. I'm the God who liveth. And the God who give you breath. And the God who give you life. And the God who will bring you to judgment. See, that's why people, they don't like gospel meetings, because the claims of the gospel and the claims of Christ come on their hearts. That's why they could sit in some old dead apostate place where there's no gospel preached then, and they can get through it nicely, because you see, they have a form of godliness, but there is no power in it. And when there's no power, there's no conviction. And when there's no conviction, let me tell you, you can go on very easily in your sin, and you can come and you can go, but friend, listen, it makes no difference. You just live as you like, as if you hadn't to meet God someday, and that God won't bring you to account. Let me tell you, friend. God sent his prophets to this young fellow because God loved him and God warned him. You say, what did he do, friend? Let me tell you. He intensified his sin. He kicked against the bricks. You know, tradition tells us that Isaiah was put to death by Manasseh. And it tells us that he was put to death because Manasseh ordered that he be, listen to this, that he be put into the hollow of a tree and that he be sawn asunder as if they were cutting wood. Now you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, friend, and what does the Hebrews chapter 11 tell you about those who were sawn asunder? I believe that can be referring to Isaiah the prophet. You see, Manasseh didn't want the message. So his best way was to get rid of the messenger. He didn't want to listen. And is it not true that there are people tonight and they don't want the gospel to be preached anymore? And you'll never find them in a tent like this. And you'll not find them in an old gospel meeting. They just want to sleep on. And if anybody disturbs their nest or their comfort zone, boy, they'll go for them. And when they can't destroy the word, then they'll try to destroy the messenger. And God rebuked them. But fourthly, his removal. You see, he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen to what God was saying. Friend, let me tell you, God in mercy said, well, listen, I'm going to have to move in here. And God says, I'm going to stop you, young fella. And the Bible says in verse number 11, wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Syria, which took Manasseh among the thorns. And the king of the Assyrians came. And friend, he had got no place of refuge, and he was running, and he ran and hid himself among the thorns. And he thought he was hid, and thought that he couldn't be got. But the Bible says that the king of Assyria took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. Let me tell you, friend, God can intervene in your party. God can break the party up. Listen, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it's now time for God to move in. And let me tell you, God says, I'm pulling you aside, Manasseh. You think you're in control. You think you're the boss. You think nobody can stop you. Listen, God says, I'm finishing your party, Manasseh. Then many a time God's finished the party. God's closed it quick. I always think of a faithful preacher who had a great love for souls, but he had a great love for his own family. He had a boy who was unsaved. A boy that was very rebellious. The more the father would speak to him, the more rebellious the boy got. One night the father in the preacher's house was talking to him. One evening he was talking to his son. And the son got very angry with his father. And he said, Father, I'm fed up. I'm fed up of you talking to me. I'm fed up of you preaching to me. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want that message anymore. And he went through the door and slammed the door of the house and got into his sports car that was sitting out there in the front of the manse. And they, in anger, spun the wheels until finally took off and the stones were flying around the front of the house as the boy flew out through the gates. The father was brokenhearted. He went down to a study. He was studying to preach the word of God. In the midst of a study time, the doorbell rang. And whenever the preacher went to the door, it was a policeman standing at the other side of the door, and he said to him, Sir, do you have a car? And he called the number of the car. He said, Yes, that's the car of my son. He said, Please come with me. He said, Why? He said, He's had an accident. The father went in the police car. They traveled down the road for him. The boy was so busy to get away and so angry, he didn't watch the road. And They stop at a certain place, and the policeman started to go down the embankment, and he looked down and he saw the car down there, and the father went down. Step by step he took, his heart was breaking, and he made his way down to the motor, and there the young fellow was lying in the field, and his young son was dead. He lifted up the head of his own child and nestled it in his arms, and he cried sore, and he said, "Son, never again will you hear my warnings. Never again will Father ever bother you with the gospel. Never again will you hear the claims of Christ." Then was over. God said, "Party's over." Let me tell you, friend, there's people tonight in this tent, and God can say to you, "Game's over, boy. Game's over, son. Game's over, daughter.
I've called, and ye've refused. I stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. He would have naught of my reproof."
"Then shall ye call, but I'll not answer. Then you'll seek me early, but you'll not find me." Removal. And friend, I'm not joking tonight. God can remove. God can pull the shutters down in the party. For God's not mocked. I'm glad the story doesn't end there. Let me tell you, friend. You see, when that boy was... Look at verse number 12. "And when he was in affliction..." You know, sometimes God has got to step in and God has got to speak through affliction. Sometimes, my friend, let me tell you, God has got to humble you and God has got to break your heart. Sometimes you've got to be broken to tears. I wonder what God will have to do to break some of you. What will God have to do to make you listen, friend? You see, if he didn't care, he wouldn't bother. He wouldn't follow after you. It's because he loves you. He stretches out his hand. It says, "And when he was in affliction." And God had to bring him down. And God had to humble him, friend. You'll have to get out of that tree of pride. That tree of rebellion. That tree that think that you are in control of everything and that God has no right and no claim on your life. And yet God was the one that gave you life in the first place. And it says when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You see, whenever he was away there in Babylon, friend, and God humbled him, listen, he had time to think. He was no longer caught up in the games. He was no longer caught up in the party. He was no longer caught up in the things of this day, friend. Listen, he's now in bondage. He's now in affliction. He's now in need. And it's time to think. No pleasures anymore. No parties anymore. No popularity anymore. No friends anymore. He's in bondage. You know what the Bible says? He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. You know what he thought about? He remembered his father's God. He remembered whenever his father was in need, he fell on his knees to God. And I believe what God did, God took and God touched the spring of memory. And he remembered his daddy whenever he used to pray.
He used to cry out to God. Used to leave a son before the Lord in prayer.
You know what he found out? After all, he couldn't get away from God. He never outrun God. Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad whenever Jonah ran, God followed after him. And God outrun him. And friend, he had to go into the ship. Aye, and he had to go into the sea. Aye, and he had to go into the fish's belly. God followed him the whole way. For it was God that sent the great storm. And it was God that sent the great fish. And it was even God that made the old fish book and put him back onto the shore again. Isn't God good? Let me tell you, if that was you or me, we'd say, leave him. Let them go on. Let them endure the pain. Let them endure the suffering. Let them pay the price. God says, no. I made my son pay the price of Calvary. He died the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And there away in that old dungeon, he remembered his father's God. And his eyes were opened. And he cried out to God. Look at verse 13. And he prayed unto God. Boy, his heart's breaking now. Isn't it amazing? He's not the tough after all, is he? He's sobbing. And he's crying out to God. In the depths of his misery. In the depths of his helplessness. And he yields to God, just like the prodigal. When he is sitting down at that old trough to feed the pigs. And he cried out, I'll say to my father, Father, I have sinned against thee. Let me tell you, that's your problem, friend. You've sinned against God. You're sinning against God tonight, let me tell you. You're sinning against a God that loves you. A God who gave his darling son to die for you. A God who sent his son to Calvary to shed his blood for you. Ah, young fella, young lassie, mommy, daddy, you're sinning against such a loving God. And God says, I love you still. I love you. And I want to save you. And there in the depths of this affliction, thank God, here we see repentance. For he prays to God. And God answers prayer. Here's the last thought. Look at the return. No, God brought him back. God brought him back. Look at verse 13. And not only did he pray unto him, but he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. God brought him home again. God brought him home again. And God changed his life. He knew that God was merciful. He no longer wanted to serve idols. Look at in verse 15. He took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord and the altars that were in the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem. He cast them out of the city. Hallelujah. You know why? He's gloriously changed. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Wasn't it good the boy got home, friend? But that's not all the story. Sad to say, friend, while Manasseh returned to God, his son didn't. Whilst Manasseh left the far country of rebellion and sin and iniquity, his son didn't. 22 years of age, his son took the throne, Ammon. And he reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem. And this is what the Holy Ghost says in verse 22. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. His father taught him how to sin. Some years ago, there was a preacher went in to preach in this church, and he was asked to go to this elder's home whenever it was dinner time. And he started to sit around the table, a man who had been away from the Lord, but thank God had returned and now was a pillar in the church. They were sitting at the table, and as they were sitting at the table about to take their food, they heard a noise from outside. It seemed as if a bucket was thrown over. And just as the preacher was about to start his meal, and they heard this noise, the preacher happened to look, and he saw the look that was in the father's face and the mother's face. They looked at each other, never said anything. As they continued their meal, they heard another noise. And then the father set down the knife and fork. He said, "Preacher, please come with me." The preacher made his way with him. They went out of that house and they went out into the yard, and then from the yard they went into the barn. And when they went into the barn, they opened the door of the barn, and there lying in the straw was a young fella, absolutely drunk to the eye. The father stood there and he said to the preacher, he said, "Preacher, I want to tell you a story. There was a time in my life when I walked with God. But sad to say, there was a time I went away from God. When I went away from God, I went in utter rebellion. I wanted to rebel. I wanted to show everybody that I was as far away from God as ever I could possibly be." He said, "I would go at nights and my wife would plead with me and beg with me not to go, but I would take my son with me. I would go to the clubs, I would go to the pubs. And I would stagger in the morning. I would stagger, yes, hardly fit to get in. Both my son and myself were staggered home." He said, "One night, I heard the gospel again. And the Spirit of God broke my heart and humbled me before God." And he said, "That night I left the far country." As the tears ran down his cheeks, he said to him, "Preacher, but I left my son there. And I took him." Is there a father and mother in this meeting tonight and you're taking your children to the world, friend? Leading them to hell? You've never come to the cross. You've never humbled yourself. You've never yielded to the claims of the gospel in your life, and you've lived your life. And you've lived it for self and for sin. And you've rebelled against your upbringing and you've rebelled against God. It's not that you don't know the way. Just you won't come the way. You're taking your family to hell. In God's name, friend. Mommy, Daddy, God's name, don't take your children to the damned. For if you do, they'll curse you for all eternity. Curse the day that you ever give them birth, mother. Curse the day that you ever brought them into this world, father. You took them to hell. Why didn't you come to Christ? Is there somebody else? Maybe there's some young person. Listen, by your influence, friend, you're showing some other young person the world. They're following you. You're the big man. If they follow you, friend, you'll take them to hell. May God stop you tonight. Thank God, Manasseh Thank God Manasseh got home. But his son didn't. And there's a boy in hell tonight. And his name is Ammon. And he was a king. But he died in his sin. Was lost forever. God save you from such a Christless end, for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before thee and we thank thee for thy word tonight. Bless it to all of our hearts. Let not one go away without you tonight. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy's pleading, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? Oh God, give deciding grace. Let the tide rise, Lord. Oh God, give us waters to swim in. For we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said,